This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
It is the top of the hour. Welcome back. How are you? Bill Martinez here. You know, we're continuing to have this conversation that Jeff Johnston from Focus on the Family had shared with us regarding his son, a personal story, Brandon Johnston. I mean, you know, here you are. You're in high school. You're one of the top-ranked wrestlers. Imagine. Okay. And you're having to deal with this decision that is right before you. Are you going to wrestle a girl? And maybe some people, and obviously in our culture, find that to be acceptable. But all along, you know, young boys are told, you know, what are they told? You know, don't touch girls. You know, don't hit girls. You know, you're stronger than they are. You need to be respectful. All this sort of thing. So we condition them, and then all of a sudden, you're put in a position, all because it's a high school sanctioned event, to go and wrestle a girl. And you know what happens. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. I was just sharing with Brad, when I was 10 years old, we had a rather feisty young girl on the neighborhood. And she'd come after the boys, and she figured she'd have a heyday because, you know, we'd all been taught and told and exampled, you know, you don't hit girls, you know, you don't rough them up. And so she'd come in, and man, she's swinging haymakers at all the boys, and she's just causing all kinds of problems. In fact, I remember one time, we're in the front yard of our home, and she came over and got in a tussle. Next thing I know, I'm on the ground wrestling with this girl. I'm trying to get her away from me, but we're on the ground. Well, you know, as you are trying to restrain somebody, you are not intentionally touching parts of her body that you're thinking, oh, I got to get out of this. I mean, this is not cool. I'm not comfortable with this. I mean, first of all, I'm not comfortable, you know, fighting with a girl or wrestling with a girl, and much less, you know, trying to restrain her and in the process of arms flailing and her. I mean, she's, you know, there's no holds barred for her. You know, she's just having at it and being as feisty as she can be. And I'm sitting there trying to contain and restrain her. And a couple of times, you know, you're touching parts of her body that you're going, oh my gosh, if my dad saw this, I would get the spanking of my life. You know, this is not good. And, you know, trying to be respectful. And this is what we grow up with. And for anybody who would have that sense of conscience, what would you think? You know, have we become, you know, so numb and so disconnected from the genders that boys and men aren't supposed to respect women anymore with all this? I mean, the mixed messages that we're putting out in society today, all the hashtagging and all that's taken place, what are we doing? You know, what is the purpose of all this after everything is said and done? You know, that women are just as good as boys, and you know, that, you know, okay, let's pretend that's the case, you know, and satisfy those on the left that want to believe that. You know, but when it comes to certain strength situations, let's face it, I mean, even in the military, you know, women, you know, can do the best they can do. They've earned their way, and they've had to, you know, bring down. I mean, by agreement of military officers and leaderships, they've had to adjust the standards in order for women to, you know, to be able, you know, to pass the grade, so to speak, because boys and men are just stronger than women. I mean, that is a fact. But somehow we're trying to force a round peg in a square hole here because of political correctness. And I know I'm on the edge of some dangerous conversation here. But maybe we can have a sober moment and really think about this. And, you know, here's a young man who is ranked and having a good opportunity to compete at a scholastic level. And now he can't. And he'd have to violate his moral principles in order to do that. Well, congratulations to Brendan and for him representing to the rest of us that you can still respect women and that winning a wrestling match is not more important than your values or morality. This is Bill Martinez, Bruce Kaufman, coming up next. Stay with us.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Hey, don't forget, you can tweet us at B Martinez Live. Let us know your thoughts. Get involved in the conversation. You know, let me know. Do you think boys should be wrestling girls? I mean, is this what our society has come down to? That this would happen? That a young man would be disqualified from a scholastic wrestling match? I mean, it was his decision to make. And I think that one that should be praised and respected because he chose to respect women over his own personal desire to be a champion in the state competition. So again, we congratulate Brendan Johnston for his commitment for the respect of women. Bruce Kaufman joins us now, award-winning syndicated columnist, historian, author, and speaker. Mr. Bruce, how are we doing, buddy?
We're doing great, Bill. It's a great day. It is Mr. Madison's birthday and yours.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, of all people I could be sharing my birthday with, boy, I'll tell you, it brightens my heart to think that James Madison and I share the same birthday, as you know.
Yes, as I know, Bill.
Yeah, founding father, served as the fourth president of the United States, hailed as the father of the Constitution. Lots to remember about James Madison, right?
He was also, by the way, hailed as chief architect of the Bill of Rights because mm-hmm. Madison is, we have three foundational documents, as you know, Bill, the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and our Bill of Rights, and Madison is responsible for two of the three. He's
right.
Responsible for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, and core to that, his push in the Bill of Rights was he believed in a transparent government. You know, that there, and it's interesting today as we celebrate national, Information Day, Open Information, Communications Day. And this is all spirited because of what James Madison had put into action and clearly is supported in our Bill of Rights.
Yeah, absolutely. Although, Bill, just he was originally against the Bill of Rights. The argument over the ratification of the Constitution basically came down the anti-federalists who did not want the Constitution ratified, or at least did not want it ratified unless a whole bunch of amendments were incorporated into it that they wanted incorporated. But the chief problem was that it didn't have a Bill of Rights. Mm. And the reason Madison did not put a Bill of Rights in is because, one, he thought it was unnecessary, and two, he thought it was dangerous. Okay? Here's why he thought it was dangerous, because you cannot put down on one piece of paper or 1,000 pieces of paper all the rights that the people possessed.
Mm-hmm.
So Madison was worried that not this government, but future governments might look at the Bill of Rights and say, okay, I cannot mess with those rights, those 10 rights that are outlined, but I don't see any of the – there's nothing else that says I can't mess with other rights.
Right.
So he was worried about that. He also thought it was unnecessary because he said, okay, the Constitution, the national government only has those powers that the Constitution gives it and no other powers. And there's nothing in the Constitution that gives the government the power to violate the people's rights to press, freedom, religion, or any of those things. So it's unnecessary.
Mm.
But Madison also understood, he's campaigning for the House of Representatives. The Constitution finally did get ratified without amendments, but he had promised during his campaign for the House of Representatives, the people, that he would introduce amendments in the first Congress. And by the way, he introduced them on my birthday, June 8th.
Oh, wonderful.
Yep.
Hey, look, this is why you and I are joined at the hip here. We're constitutionalists. That's what it is, you know, so that's great. Yeah.
But when Madison was, what he realized was that the people, okay, the Constitution is ratified, but he's not getting buy-in. The people are still suspicious of this Constitution, and they're suspicious of it because it lacks a Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
So even though he was intellectually right about it being unnecessary and dangerous, he realized, intellectual is one thing. The people, I need buy-in from the people on this Constitution, and if it's going to take a Bill of Rights to do it, then I'm going to do that. And that is exactly how it happened. And so, yes, he wrote them, introduced them, and that is why he is chief architect of the Bill of Rights.
Well, amazing that he had the forethought and the moxie to be able to see how what the trajectory, and having a sense of the pulse of the people, that even though he understood clearly, because he knew the intent of the Constitution, that if you considered it, it really, you had built-in restrictions and regulations within the confines of the document itself. But the people needed more clarity. And so he had to yield to their desire in giving the Bill of Rights just for clarification and also for them to have buy-in, as you say.
Absolutely. No government works unless the majority of the people don't support that government, and that's what he really understood in campaigning to be a part of that government, that the people weren't buying into this, and he needed buy-in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been known to have said that knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. So that is something that continues to be heard through the millennia. But I just wonder in this 21st century if we're really paying attention to that, because we've become very casual with these important documents and what it means for the freedoms that we enjoy and you might argue have taken for granted.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, Bill, I need all day on your show to explain all the different ways that the government now is different than the one that Madison created.
Yeah. Well, we have about a half hour, and like you said, I agree with you. So let's talk about, you say there's a particular topic with respect to Madison's contribution to the Constitution has always amazed you, and it can be found in Federalist Number 10. Break that down.
Okay, so one of the biggest problems that we've had with governments since the Greek city-states in ancient times was what is called, and all your listeners, you and I, we heard this from our teachers in high school, tyranny of the majority,
mm-hmm.
All right, which is to say that in a pure democracy, the majority rules.
Yes.
All right, a majority of constituents will band together based on a mutual self-interest, because let's be realistic. Self-interest is the dominant behavioral modifier of all people, has always been, always will be. So people will, majorities are bound together on behalf of a mutual self-interest, and they would go down to their state legislatures, this is pure democracy, mm-hmm. and say, if you don't pass a law that meets my self-interest, I'm going to vote you out of office.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now that law would be good for them, but it would not be good for the minorities or the individuals in the state. It's only good for the majority.
Mm-hmm.
That's tyranny of the majority. And so the conventional wisdom was, from the Greek city-states on down, the only way to mitigate the problem of majority rule is to have a small nation with a small population that is basically homogeneous in the sense that they all think alike or mostly think alike, and they all mostly have the same interest. Therefore, majority factions, which are special interest groups, won't arise based on a particular self-interest. Everybody basically has the same self-interest in a small country. Madison said it's the exact opposite, guys. You need a huge country with a huge population. This is Federalist 10. Mm-hmm. You need to extend the sphere and bring in a whole bunch of interests, variety of interests, because if you have a whole bunch of different factions, they all counterbalance each other.
Exactly.
All right? And people are moving in of different factions, so there will never be one majority in place long enough or large enough to impose its will on the minorities and the individuals. And that is exactly what we have today, a continental nation of 340 million people, and we've never had a majority impose its will, negatively on everybody else.
But some might argue you, Bruce, that what we're experiencing is the tyranny of the minority these days, are we not?
We are, and we can get into that, Bill. But, yeah, that was another problem, the tyranny of the minority, absolutely.
I'll tell you, when we come back, I want to address that because that comes screaming loud and clear. I've already gotten a couple of tweets on that already. Just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour, Bruce Kaufman is with us, our favorite historian, and we are remembering our fourth president of the United States, one James Madison, a founding father and father of the Constitution.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
It's about time someone had the courage to say it. Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back. as we connect with the culture and confront it, so that we can be that bridge of reason. Bruce Kaufman is with us. The syndicated columnist, award-winning one, historian, author, and speaker. Bruce, very quickly, remind everybody how they can be in touch with you and get your three times a week, heads up, information pieces.
Bill, they can go on my website, which is historylessons.net, www.historylessons.net. That's one word, plural, historylessons.net. And on the homepage, on the right-hand side, it says subscribe to Bruce's writings, and you type in your first name, last name, email address, and you pick I have three offerings, my quote of the week on Monday that I'll send out an email, my syndicated newspaper column, Bruce's History Lessons, on Wednesday, and on Friday, I send out an email to my subscribers, my column called Thinking Out Loud, in which I talk about some of the things that you and I talk about, public policy, politics, and that kind of thing. And
right.
So pick one, two, three, whichever you feel most comfortable with, and hit send, and I will send them all out to you every week.
Exactly. Now, how are you coming with the new book? What is the status here?
I'm having a little bit of an issue with my agent. She wants me to add a chapter on Trump to the book,
okay.
And I'm
all right.
Not really. I really don't want to do that because Trump really doesn't have anything to do with what the theme of the book is. Is the founding fathers versus the progressive movement.
Okay. All
and
right.
The difference in the country that the founding fathers established, and the country that the progressives have changed. Barack Obama, Lyndon Johnson, Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, and so Trump has really nothing to do with either of those, and I don't see any reason, so we're going back and forth on that.
Okay, but the other two other books, which is basically a compilation of your syndicated columns, which I think are great resources, I often go to them, and because they're quick reads, and it just refreshes your memory about these things that are so vital and foundational to this country.
Yeah, and you know what, and you can go on my website and click the link there. It says buy the books, and it'll bring you right to Amazon. And anyone who wants to, it's a 5-year collection, 2 5-year collections of my syndicated newspaper column on American and world history.
And you will be blessed. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's absolutely brilliant. Just like Bruce is, and this is why we like to have him on as often as we can get him. We were talking, Bruce, before the break about the tyranny of the majority, and it would appear, some would say, what about the tyranny of the minority that's being, greatly displayed in our country today?
Right, Bill. Okay, so, yeah, tyranny of the majority. But at the end of the day, Madison and all the founding fathers knew that the sovereign power belongs with the people. Okay, that is why they made the legislature the first among equals of our three branches of the government, the legislative, executive, and judicial. But the legislative was first among equals because they're the ones that pass the laws that make public policy, and the legislative branch is also the one that is closest to the people and therefore most beholden to the people. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that uphold the principle that the people are the sovereign power in this country. Today, what we are seeing is that the power is shifting from the legislative branch to the executive branch, mostly, but they also partly to the judicial branch. So Barack Obama, our recent president, he issued a whole bunch of executive orders putting in place policies that Congress refused to pass laws putting in place. And that is tyranny of the minority. That is a violation. It is one thing to issue an executive order. It's another thing to issue an executive order on an issue, a topic, for instance, the DREAM Act, in which Congress refused to pass a law putting that into policy, into place. And Barack Obama did that. That's tyranny of the minority. And one of the problems with that, Bill, is that it does not – the whole idea of the legislative branch being first among equals is the legislative branch is all about politics, which is all about compromise. Mm-hmm. By the time a law is passed by both branches of Congress, which have different constituencies, and either signed or vetoed by the president, who also has a totally different constituency, you have a ton of compromise. A law that is passed and signed into law has the support, grudging as it may be, because you never get everything you want, of the constituency of the House, which is the majorities in the congressional districts. It has the support of the constituency of the Senate, which is the entire state. And it is the support of the constituency of the president, which is the entire nation. Mm-hmm. Lots of compromise. That means that the majority of the people support the law, or it wouldn't have gotten passed. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama or any president that issues an executive order, it's not based on compromise. It's right. based on his or her wanting to put a particular policy in place.
Right. And along the way, what exacerbated the problem, particularly with immigration, because you mentioned DACA, is that you get people that say, well, we don't have to follow the laws anymore. And then they wonder why the system is broken and we're in such, you know, chaos is because we've ignored the rule of law.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Again, Bill, if you want the, for laws to be effective, for government to be effective, we talked about this before the break, it mm-hmm. has to have the support of the majority of the people.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to issue, one person is going to issue an executive order, you're not going to get support of the majority of the people because there's no compromise. There's mm-hmm. no compromise with the majority of the people. It was just, you know, this is a policy I want to put into place. I'm going to sign an executive order or a presidential memorandum statement or whatever, and now it's in place.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to get a lot of the majority of the people following it because it was not based on the support of the majority of the people. That's the problem with tyranny of the minority.
Right, exactly. And, you know, when you have a situation, for example, let's take Obamacare and how that got through. There wasn't full representation there, but there were outlets in which things could have been stopped. In this case, the Republican Party did not exercise some intestinal fortitude to say, look, we are abandoning a core value and rule of our Constitution, and that is that it has to be fully represented. To have a bill, any one bill at any one time that's only carried by one party, leads us to that tyranny of the minority, does it not?
And it also leads to all kinds of controversy, and if you want to put the word controversy next to anything passed in the Obama administration, it would be Obamacare.
Right. Exactly, because, you know, to your point, going back, if we want full representation, because this is the way the Constitution was designed, this was Madison and the Founding Fathers' intent, is that there would be a righteous balance. And when you unbalance the scales, you tip the scales, then you have programs like Obamacare and DACA and other things that are problematic. Let's talk Roe v. Wade even.
Oh, absolutely. Well, there's the courts. I was saying earlier, it's also the tyranny of the courts. The courts are getting into issues that the Founding Fathers did not want them to get into. All right? The Roe v. Wade is about abortion. Abortion is not a legal issue. It's a political issue.
Mm-hmm.
And when political issues should be decided by the people, not the courts, by the people.
Mm-hmm.
And Roe v. Wade was, okay, before Roe v. Wade was decided, how was abortion decided? It was decided state by state,
exactly.
by the people.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, nine judges, actually not nine, it was seven, decide, you know, I'm taking away the people's right to decide a political issue. I'm getting into what my job is to decide the legality, the constitutionality of laws Congress has passed, and I'm now getting into politics.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that the Founding Fathers would not have wanted.
Yeah, and then the impact of this issue is not state by state, but it is upon the entire corporate entity of the United States.
Yeah. Exactly, and that's the other genius of Madison, the Federalist Principle, Bill, in which the national issues belong to the national government, foreign policy, national defense, regulating interstate commerce, coining a national currency, okay, immigration. Those are national issues that affect the nation as a whole. Local, state, and local issues should be decided by the state and local governments.
Mm-hmm.
Because the bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., on the eastern seaboard of a 50-state nation that is continental, they cannot know what are the problems and the solutions in Davenport, Iowa, or Gary, Indiana, or Taos, New Mexico, or Brownsville, Texas. They're all going to be different because
exactly.
the people are different. Their circumstances are different. So the state and local governments are the ones to solve those problems because the state and local governments are their neighbors, their friends. They live nearby. They will know what the problems are, not
exactly.
some bureaucrats with their PowerPoints in a federal office building in Washington.
Exactly. But it is key to know the difference, and I would dare say California has lost understanding of what the difference is when it comes to federal law regarding immigration.
That's for sure.
Well, I'll tell you, the controversy continues, but this is why we need to celebrate our Constitution. A good day to set aside some time, refresh yourself with the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, our Declaration of Independence, and I'm sure you will be proud again to be an American. Bruce Kaufman, our favorite historian on Bill Martinez Live. Bruce, once again, remind everybody how they can be in touch with you. We got 10 seconds.
History.net, Bill. One word, plural.
There it is. Bruce
Thank
Kaufman
you, Bill.
On Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Bruce. Take care, buddy.
At Robert Half, we know finding the right employees is a job in itself, and it's a job we love. You see, Robert Half isn't just a staffing firm. We're people. People who believe in finding the right people to fit your company's needs. Because employees who are a good fit are more productive, more engaged. Finding a great candidate isn't easy. But at Robert Half, we know it's possible. Robert Half, the experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Learn more at roberthalf.com/radio.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Send your emails direct, NSA free to bill@billmartinezlive.com.
Hey, it's just like that. We'd love to hear from you. Your opinion does count. If we're going to get this country back on track, it can't be the tyranny of the minority. We've got to stand by these rules, and if we are a nation of rules, and it comes out initially with our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and the Bill of Rights on this James Madison's birthday, a good reminder to refresh ourselves with the rule of law in our government, the rule of law that makes us a free and liberated people, the home of the brave, and the land of the free. Justin Danhoff joins us now, General Counsel for the National Center for Public Policy Research. Justin, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Bill. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Hey, great to be talking with you. I want to get an update on this Disney deal. It was a little bit tough, but you were able to find a seat finally at the Disney shareholders meeting, and Iger tried to, I guess, manufacture something, or at least, shill the room in such a way so that he wouldn't get any tough questions. But God bless you for your tenacity, and you were able to ask him a question that I'm sure he's probably still rather irritated over.
Well, yeah, that's right. But I think it was an important question for many millions of Americans. So as many people know, Disney owns a lot of properties, and including lots of media properties.
Mm-hmm.
And two of the biggest are ABC and ESPN. And I kind of wanted to know why in the world there was certain things happening on those networks. So, for example, ESPN's Jemele Hill has tweeted and said repeatedly that President Trump and his supporters are white supremacists. And she is still employed by ESPN. You almost can't turn on the network without seeing her face. She has not apologized for this. And in fact, last month, she gave an interview to the Washington Post in which she reiterated her feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Then, on the February 13th broadcast of The View on ABC, it won't shock you to know, Bill, I wasn't watching it at the time, as mm-hmm. I don't believe I've ever watched that program live.
But you're like me. See, we see the important things. When they step in their buckets of gum, then it's called out, and then we catch it then. I'm like you.
That's right. That's right. Mm. And so on that broadcast, Joy Behar and Sonny Hostin, two of the co-hosts, were bashing Vice President Mike Pence, and they went to such lengths as to attack his faith, attack his religion, by suggesting that the Christian faith, by having conversations with the Lord, that is a dangerous mental illness, which would shock and did shock just about every Christian in the world, because Scripture teaches us that prayer is a conversation with the Lord, and the Lord answers all prayers.
Right.
And so, you know, this was so wildly offensive. So I went to Disney shareholder meeting with those two examples, and I asked Bob Iger, you know, quite simply, it seems to me that on your airway, it's okay to risk the reputation and bottom line of Disney so long as it's in service to bashing Christians and conservatives. And I asked him if he agreed with Jemele Hill that President Trump and his supporters are white supremacists, and if he agreed with Joy Behar that Christianity is a dangerous mental illness, and what he had to say to the tens of millions of Americans that were offended by such comments.
Mm-hmm.
And his answer was very telling and very interesting. First of all, he didn't comment on the Jemele Hill, her comments, which is highly disappointing. But he did say that Vice President Pence received a phone call from Joy Behar and that Joy had apologized privately. And this was the first time this was made public, that there was this private phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And it struck me as very odd that nobody had mentioned this, that The View, the producers, somebody at ABC, somebody at Disney hadn't come out with this, since it was such a big uproar and
exactly.
So many people were upset. And we come to find out that during their phone call, Vice President Pence had urged Ms. Behar to apologize publicly, since what she said was public.
Was public, exactly. Yeah, that would only make sense. And you would think that Iger, being the media mogul that he is, would understand that academic premise, is that your apology has to be presented in the venue of which in which it was originally distributed, correct?
Correct. And, you know, but Behar, you know, when Vice President Pence suggested this, she refused, and she said she wasn't going to do it. And so that's why it wasn't made public until I got it out of Iger at the shareholder meeting. The second part of his answer, he did say that he, too, personally took exception to what Behar had said it wasn't right. And so this was the first time it was made public that Behar's actions upset the big boss, that he was bothered by this.
Right.
And so the timeline is, you know, this shareholder meeting is Thursday, March 8th. Fast forward to the following Monday, Vice President Pence is on the Sean Hannity program at night, and he again calls for Joy Behar to publicly apologize. Fast forward to the following morning, on Tuesday morning, we did finally get that public apology from Joy Behar. And so the match that I lit Thursday at a shareholder meeting, by Tuesday morning, had stoked such a flame that Joy Behar, you know, publicly apologized. I talk to you a lot, Bill, after shareholder meetings and what we do, and I'm proud of a lot of the work we do. But, you know, I'm quite proud of being a part of getting Joy Behar to do the right thing, because
exactly.
it's not in her nature.
Yeah, and the thing is, Justin, it's not one of those things to I guess, you know, I know your heart on this deal, and I know the way people are looking at it. Maybe Joy would get enlightened and appreciate all the more her responsibility and what she owes to her audience. I mean, I was looking over that audience that there, not in, and then secondarily thinking of the audience back at home that probably said, well, what are you talking about? You know, I pray, I hear God's word. I hear from God all the time. And she's, you know, she's making that kind of statement. I mean, she's actually hurting herself by making those statements because, you know, she's putting out the wrong gospel. Well, wrong church. I mean, it's one thing that if you don't believe in that, but then, you know, even the audience kind of went along and clapped, and I imagine even as they went home and maybe as they were driving back home in their cars thinking, you know, maybe I shouldn't have applauded, but because of the, you know, the peer pressure of being there in the studio, I went along to get along kind of deal. But people knew differently, and I'm sure that some of them had to have moments in their prayer closet where they're, you know, apologizing to God and asking for forgiveness because they had a moment to stand up and say, you know, I don't agree with that. And for Joy, maybe she could only hope that she might hear the voice of God in a gentle whisper and in a loving way and to really appreciate what faith is all about. And maybe this might advance her career and make her more of a value to our culture.
Yeah, one can only hope that she had that type of reflection, and time will tell. And you know, we all learn from mistakes, and you know, this was an egregious one.
Right.
And you know, again, I'm glad that we were able to keep the pressure on Disney. And that Disney's leadership, you know, agreed with us. That this
well,
was
even
not,
for Bob Iger, I mean.
Thing.
Yeah, I mean, for Bob Iger, I mean, you called him out. He had to make a decision. Who was he going to follow? Was he going to follow God or was he going to follow Joy? And for him to make the statement that he wasn't happy with that, and interestingly enough, maybe it was too much for him to deal with what Jamil had said as well. But, you know, it's like, okay, at least he was honest about Joy and saying that, hey, I don't agree with that. That's problematic. And I'm sure this is going to be one of those things that's going to impact the culture of Disney, because you know Disney has their nights, whether it's Disney World or Disneyland in Anaheim, and I imagine in other parts of the world as well, where they honor people of faith, and they'll have a special faith night. So you know, to get in conflict with people of faith is not good business for the Disney Corporation on many levels.
Absolutely, and I'm glad we were able to kind of. Set that ship off in a better direction.
Well, you definitely contributed a lot to Disney's leadership, to the stockholders as well, to be that voice of reason to penetrate. And Justin, you know, keep up the great work. I mean, this is awesome. And as Vice President Pence, what he was pointing out wasn't about him. It was about the other people of faith that were misrepresented and maligned. And thank God for his courage as well.
Thanks, Bill. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Justin Danhof on Bill Martinez Live. He is the general counsel for the National Center for Public Policy Research.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Want to refresh your wardrobe and home? Get to Kohl's Friends and Family Sale and take an extra 20% off with promo code FRIENDS. With an extra 20% off, LC Lauren Conrad floral tops are just $23.99. Jumping Beans tees are only $6.40. And a KitchenAid Artisan Stand Mixer is $29.99. And you'll get $60 Kohl's Cash. A spring refresh for the family, Kohl's Cash for you. Right now at Kohl's. Select styles. Offer valid March 14th through 18th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside of our borders. At Miles Frank Limited, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Frank Limited is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box system in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals, or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid foundational storage partnered with the most respected name in security. That's Miles Frank Unlimited. Celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Frank Unlimited, a name you can trust.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join OneWay today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez live.
You are the answer.
Back with the America. Bill Martinez here, and oh, do I have a treat for you. John Irwin is joining us. Always good to be talking with John. Of course, John from the world-famous Irwin Brothers, a directing team that focus on developing and producing unique stories. So you see, you can hear him chuckling in the background, because whenever you brag about people that are humble, they can't help but chuckle a bit. But let me say, John, wow, all that you and your brother have done over the years, your reputation precedes yourself. It has been time-honored, joyful, brilliant, entertaining. Anything that you would want by way of production of films, and certainly films that are, family-friendly that you can take your kids to.
Yeah, that's the goal. It's to build up trust. I mean, I think we're storytellers, and there can be incredible power to the right story. And if you can make a film, our goal is to make films that are entertaining, that are emotionally relatable, no matter what you believe, that are trustworthy for you and your whole family. Nothing will offend you about them. But that showcase truth and draw people to truth. Andy and I say that we dream of the return of Frank Capra, the legendary filmmaker from the 40s and 50s. I think it's just time that we use this tool wisely, as Christians, and that we tell stories that matter, that draw people to things that we believe are true. And we found that they can be incredible tools, and it's just a fun job. I mean, to get to tell stories for a living, and to get to see ideas come to life and work with the people we get to work with. It's an incredible thing.
See all that fun stuff in Birmingham, Alabama, you and your brother shooting pictures in the backyard and all this, and leading to ESPN, movies like Mom's Night Out now and Woodlawn,
Yeah, who would have thought? And I got to tell you, John, you and your brother have been such a blessing to the Christian community, because the heart's cry of Christians for many years has been, look, we see what's happening in Hollywood, these big productions. They look so great in Christian films, you know, and not so good, you know. And then you and others have come along and are starting to give glory to God in a way that he should be represented. And we're grateful for that.
Well, you know, I mean, first of all, I claim the words of George Lucas, who said films are never complete, they're only abandoned. So ours are full of mistakes and things that I would love to go back and change. But I'll tell you this, I think it's time that we really reach as high as we can to make the best films that we can, and to really earn the message that we care about, not use it as a crutch. And that's our goal. I mean, quality is our core, is our number one core value, and let's make these films better and better so that they can be seen by more and more people. And that's the goal. And not to say that the films are perfect, but that's what we reach for. And we try to just go further and push harder. And my hope is that, if you look like a story like I Can Only Imagine, you know, it was very much the emergence of Christian music. And now, you know, on the backs of a few pioneers, like Michael B. Smith and Amy Grant and others, you know, there's an established, playing field where new voices can be heard and have a job. And that's what we hope to do with film. I remember Sean Astin, we've done a couple films together. He was great in season two of Stranger Things, by the way. But you know, he said, John, I see you guys as frontiersmen and pioneers. Mm-hmm. And I said, thanks, Sean. That's an honor. That's what we want to do. He said, you know, trouble is, John, most frontiersmen die on the frontier. And I'm like, well, I never thought about that, but the trail will be clearly marked, and I'll be pointing to the summit, you know, frozen on the mountainside or whatever. You know, I hope that, you know, I love that line, if I see clearly, it's because I stand on the shoulders of giants. You know, we've climbed up on the shoulders of others, and hopefully a new wave of talent will climb up on our shoulders.
You'll be the next set of shoulders.
You know, and I hope that we'll blink our eyes and we'll be competing with Star Wars. I mean, I really do think that's possible. There's enough of us. We have plenty of money as Christians. We have just lacked the cultural, you know, willpower and a unified strategy. And I see that changing. So I think we have a lot of opportunities. And I'm glad to be a part of that first wave in whatever capacity God allows us to. And it's fun to just still be in the game and be telling stories for a living. I mean, it's an amazing job.
Exactly. Well, you mentioned I Can Only Imagine. It is set for release on March 16th. Great day, by the way. I want you to know, because it happens to be my birthday. So I'm glad that you picked that day just in time, because I Can Only Imagine, of course, everybody's favorite Mercy Me's hit song that inspired this movie. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, and by the way, with the date, you've got a great birthday. I was with a filmmaker friend of mine. He said, how did you guys pick your date? And I said, well, we're going to release it early March, and their Mercy Me's tour was over on the 11th. And so we thought, well, the Friday after that is the 16th. And he said that your date is 316. You know,
exactly.
What an amazing thing. I'm like, oh, yeah, this was planned. Of course.
That's right. Of course.
Yeah, we're that smart. Of course it was planned.
Yeah.
But I Can Only Imagine is, of course, the best-selling, most-played Christian song of all time. And it has brought hope to so many, even in my own life. You know, at difficult times in my life, I Can Only Imagine has been an anchor for me and for my family. And it's been that for millions and millions of people. But there's an incredible story behind the song that nobody is aware of. And I remember when Bart was talking to my brother to see if we would consider the movie as it was in development elsewhere. And, you know, we're a story first company. So it's all about what's the story and does it move us? And, you know, you can always know that about Andy and I and Irwin Brothers. If we're bringing a film to you, it's because it's a film we want to see and a film that moves us, you know, because, those are the only films that we make. And so, I asked Bart, I said, Bart, if I were to put a gun to your head and say, is God real? What do you say? And he said, absolutely. And I said, how do you know? And he said, because of the change I saw in my dad, he said, I watched a monster transform into my best friend and the man I wanted to become. Mm-hmm. And it was that relationship that reconciled. Their relationship was beyond repair, and yet God restored it and redeemed it. And in the fourth quarter of this man's life, Arthur, Bart's dad, he totally changed. And it was that transformation and that relationship that inspired this song. And so nobody knows that. And, yeah. And I find that incredible. And so it's just a beautiful thing. And I think, something that we can all, relate to and we can all glean from that, you know, no relationship is beyond God's forgiveness and grace and restoration. And no person is beyond God's grace and forgiveness. And God can change anybody, and he can change the worst of us. Mm-hmm. And that is the proof of Christianity, is in the lives that it changes. And so that was just, I couldn't get it out of my mind. It was like a splinter in my mind. I thought we have to tell this story. We have to make this movie. And I'm very pleased with what came of it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. I've heard of Bart's story before with his father. And yeah. this is our redeeming God, our God that says it's not over. And who says, "Hey, look it, I'm still in with you." And as you say, the fourth quarter of his life, I mean, all that Bart had to experience as a young man with his dad, you would think, how do you get these parties back together? You know, but for the grace of God, right?
Well, that is the gospel, you know, and that is, you know, we all have our story. And I remember Dennis Quaid. Yeah, iconic actor. I mean, he was doing movies before I was born, and iconic movies like.
I know. I'm looking at the cast here. This is a stellar cast.
Yeah. And it's just he's such an iconic movie star. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I've never played transformation on film like this before. I've never played a character that could change this dramatically, and to know that it really happened is incredible. Mm-hmm. And it was incredible to see him. I mean, just really turn in my opinion, a performance that is incredible and very unique in his body of work. I mean, it was very authentic and humble and powerful, powerful performance. And, you know, that is the great message of this film. I think this film will make you laugh and it will make you cry. And hopefully it will give you that same rush of hope that the song gave us all the first time we heard it. But the enduring message of it is that God has the power to change your life, your situation, your relationship, and you can't be too far gone for the God that we serve. And that's an incredible message.
And this movie is going to add a dimension to that song. As you said, so many of us who have sang that song, been blessed by that song, not knowing what was behind the inspiration of what Bart was writing for us. Wow. I mean, it is going to add something quite powerful that is going to bless the Christian community. I would say make sure that you have your shoes anchored onto your feet, because they're liable to be blown right off of them, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, our motto is progress, not perfection, and we want you know, each film to build on the last. And I feel like this is a leap forward from anything that we've done before. There's just an emotional power to the story, you know, and we've fallen in love with true stories with our film Woodlawn. And then going on from that, the documentaries on Steve McQueen. I just think that there's power to the truth. I think that there's a power to something that really happened. It's undeniable, and we've seen tens of thousands of people come to Christ, mostly young teenagers, with Woodlawn, you know. Yes. And I think it's just because they crave what they see, because it's, you know, mass media is kind of the language of the time. And to know that what they see really happened, and if it really happened to those people, it can happen to me, is a powerful thing. So I think it becomes a powerful tool to Christians to use at this neutral site called a movie theater.
Exactly.
And it's exciting to be able to give those tools. But this one to me feels like a substantial leap and just a really strong story. And I give testament to Bart for his courage to tell the story.
Yeah.
And
he's very vulnerable.
Being willing to tell the story.
Exactly.
Yeah. And be honest about his past and his history. And I hope that we do it justice, and certainly in the screens that we've had.
I'm sure you will.
Audience of this movie.
John, we're out of time. We got to leave it right there. Thank you. And also your brother and the team that put this together, coming soon to theater near you on a great day. A happy birthday for somebody we know. On March the 16th. Yes, I can only imagine.
ID Stronghold wallets are different. They may look the same on the outside. They're stylish. They'll hold your cards and cash. But they're hiding something great on the inside. No, there are no pyrotechnics. And it doesn't sing when you open it. But it does have magical powers. ID Stronghold wallets protect your critical information and identity from thieves standing right next to you. Anyone can buy a cheap RFID scanner online and snag your information just by walking past you. Contactless credit cards, debit cards, even your work ID badge. ID Stronghold was the first to pioneer RFID. RFID blocking technology over 12 years ago. ID Stronghold's wallets, sleeves, and badge holders are trusted by the U.S. military and the Executive Office of the President, something the competitors can't say. Secure your identity and save 10% by using coupon code MAGIC at checkout for a limited time at IDStronghold.com. IDStronghold.com.